Mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. Amen. Since we're here, we're going to take advantage and sing.
God bless you all. I guess first off, I've just got to praise the Lord. A miracle has happened in my life, in my very eyes. I'm telling y'all, I went to see my mama yesterday. She needed help on her pipe because her pipe was leaking. I wasn't knowing like how to expect her to try to take her out to eat. My mom suffers with COPD and heart disease and heart failure, actually. It's been times like the past year, 2019, have been so rough. You guys have no idea. It's like I'm seeing my mama stretched out on a recliner, not able to walk, not able to bathe herself. You know, she had like a little bit of weight on her too. Not big like how I am now. Big like how I am. If I'm meant to be smaller, I got a little weight on me right now. But my mom, the Lord did a miracle in her. She could not walk. She was on oxygen 24 hours a day. She could just walk on the little roller thing, barely making it, and kind of got to help her get up, help her sit down. Had a husband to help bathe her. She had a nurse coming in every day. He came out earlier, said just to help her fix a pipe. And lo and behold, when I opened the door, my mama, she dropped about 40 pounds. Which is kind of surprising, really slender, but it's her natural state is being slender. She was walking, talking. I was like, thank you, Jesus, mama. Thank you, Jesus. I said, thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Jesus. I cannot go without thanking my Lord. But the miracle was so great. It was just so much for me. When we took her out to eat, she walked in the restaurant. She walked herself out. She put herself into the van. It was a miracle. I'm telling you, it's a miracle to me because I know my Lord Jesus did it. So many times I have prayed. Their testimony broke my heart. You know, sometimes you try to hold yourself when you're around your family people. You know, you don't want to get emotional. You want to upset them. But she was just speaking to me about how hard it's been for her. She said sometimes she would lay there just being in so much like pain and despair, like let me to get around and everything. She's like, Lord, just take me. Make me right. Just let me give me rest, Lord. Either heal me or give me rest. I didn't get emotional when my mama said these things because I don't want to get all upset or anything. She doesn't really know how I am just personally, like in my heart. She just sharing that with me just broke my heart. So many times I want to fix my mama. It's like I want to be the one to fix her. I want to be the one to take her to the doctor. I want to be the one to help her, but I have 3 kids, husband, a lot of responsibilities. I can't really be there for her in that way to carry her on my shoulders. And I have really prayed. I really prayed and I said, I'm like, Lord, please don't let my mama die. I'm real, you know, she doesn't know God like me. Like I know God, but I fail him. And brother, I'm like, Lord, if I haven't waited on me, forgive me, Jesus. If I have you waited for me. If I'm the hindrance, forgive me, Lord. I'm serious. God, forgive me. Who am I? I am nothing without him. It's by his grace. He told me how to dress. This outfit I got on, I can testify my husband bought it for me. And I did put it on this morning. It's on my heart. I just wanted to sing the song to his glory. Because God did answer my prayers. You know, it's not like a super emotional affair. Like I find like here, it's been a very new experience for me. Most people are not very emotional. I kind of know. It's just new for me. It's really new. We went to a church that was very lively. So I'm just coming like to be used to everything being taught and listening and learning, you know, just humbling, you know, and learning things by his grace. So it's been a long journey. But I think the Lord kind of kept me back. So I see my mama walking. You just don't know. It's a miracle. Amen. It's a miracle to see like so much all that water weight came off of her. She was holding so much fluid. And the last prayer, because they asked for her, the surgeons actually want to get another surgery on her because of her. Some valves they put in her are leaking fluids through her body. I was like, mama, I don't want you to get any more surgery. So every time she gets surgery, it sets her back. And I was praying to the Lord Jesus, like if it's not his will for her to have a surgery, it would heal those valves. In her heart, he is more than able. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe it. I mean, he saved me. I was a rank sinner. Nothing was good in me. I'm not ashamed to tell the truth. Nothing was good in this woman right here. It's only his grace. I did everything there was to be done, you know, as far as I look at it. But God, in his mercy, he picked me up and cleaned me up. You know, and my kids need the same experience. I can't, even though much as I want to fix them as a mama, I know I can't do it. They have that experience with the Lord. And it's what I want for them. But this song was just like a little song. I know this song, but I'm too nervous, like, just to try to feel like I know it in my mind, but I need to look at it so I can sing it. But God bless you all. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you so much.
Trouble may come knocking at your door. Don't be afraid. You know it's not like before. Don't you give in. Don't let it bring you down. You don't have to worry anymore. Because we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made stronger every day, and there is no reason for you to go astray. Don't you lean on your understanding, just lean on him and we'll all say that we've been made more than conquerors. For you to go astray, don't you lean on your understanding. Yes, Lord, just lean on him and we'll all say that we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life.
Amen. Glory. He deserves all the glory, all the praise. Amen. We serve a living God. I thank you, Lord Jesus. We certainly appreciate all you brothers and sisters. As my wife said, it's been a test and trials, you know, through the whole journey, you know, and about 5 years ago, I mean, the Lord just, we knew something was happening in our life. I mean, it was so real. I went to my office and I told them, I didn't know what was happening. It felt like the rapture was going to happen, you know, and I told them something was taken place. We were settled in Maryland. Of course, everything was fine, and I worked 5 minutes from my house. But during that time, I knew something was happening. I went to the office. You know, we business. We don't. We just practical, straight. You know, and I said, everything that we know is about to change. That's all I told them. And I said, I'm not, you know, of course, you don't want to be a fanatic, and people, they don't understand these things. But I said, as far as everything I know, everything is going to change. You just mark that.
Right.
And certainly, a little bit after that, just everything, the job closed down, started traveling to Asia, everything that we knew changed. And we ended up here by the grace of Lord Jesus. And we've been enjoying it since. Amen. So let's sing that song. We're going to go ahead and stand up, sing Open the Eyes of My Heart, get ready for the Word. That's the most exciting part. Amen. You love the Word? Amen. That's the Lord to open the eyes of our heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. See you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, oh Lord. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Lord, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, Lord, shining in the light of your glory. Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
See him, you want to understand him, you come to the right place. Amen. God told us, he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be in the midst. And I believe that there's two or three at least here today. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here today, smiling faces. And appreciate that testimony of Sister Alicia. And we all got testimonies. Man, we all got a testimony. I got to always go back to the spelling of that. The first four letters are T-E-S-T. So you got to go through a test before you can have a testimony. Amen. So good to be in the house of the Lord. By way of announcement, let's turn to Psalms 138:8. Today we're going to maybe try to wrap this up. This afternoon. We'll see. But by way of announcement, remember next Sunday, Brother Ernie Vanilla Wafer will be here. I called a brother, and me and Brother Chris Long were talking about it, and I said, Brother Ernie's coming. He said, Ernie Vanilla Wafer? I said, yep. He said, make some banana pudding. So Brother Ernie Villanueva will be here next Sunday with us, Lord willing, next the 9th, and then the 15th will be the banquet. What time? There's time down. What time? 4:00. Be there 4:00 for pictures. 4:00 for pictures. So it looks like we're going to have a full house, and that's wonderful. That's good. And we'll be done sometime before midnight. We'll have a good time, though, and we're going to do our games and all that. And we're going to have some really good food. So I'll thank Brother Dale again for all the years he's give us this opportunity to have it. So thank you. Also remember February the 23rd, I'll be at Brother Dutch Scott's, which will be in a couple of weeks. Also remember March the 7th will be the youth weekend. March the 7th, we'll have Bible study for the youth starting at 2:30 or 3 o'clock. We'll announce that later on. Then March the 8th, they will be taking the second service. All right, it won't be the first Sunday. The first Sunday is the first. It'll be the next Sunday because we're not going to put the two Saturday and Sunday together. Okay, so it'll be March 7th. That Saturday and March the 8th will be, the kids will be doing, the young adults, they're not kids anymore, the young adults will be doing the afternoon service. So God bless you there. Brother Luis will be speaking for us Wednesday night, so pray for him. Also remember, also downstairs, June the 18th, 19th, and 20th is our Father's Day fishing trip. Please, if you're a father or if you're a male, please sign up and go with us because we're going to have a good time in the Lord. So all minds clear. Everybody good? Everybody good? Let's go to Psalms 138, verse 8. Let's bow our heads. The Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. It's another day that we can have breath and life here on the earth. And Lord, on top of all that, we're able to hear from you. Amen. We're able to get our nourishment, sure, from the food that you so graciously give us from the ground. But Lord, the manna from heaven is what we're looking for right now. It's that word that will come and will never, ever make you sick or make your thoughts be wrong. Lord, this food that's coming, Lord, it's just so precious and pure because it comes from you, Lord. We thank you for this day that we're living in. We thank you for the church we have here, Lord, all the deacons, the elders, pastors, all the different ones. We thank you for them every time we pray. We thank you for the people that are here that are assembled together. For the ones that are sick that are not with us, we pray that you would just heal them, Father, touch their bodies. Lord, just be with the ones that are on the highways, the ones that are not they're not serving the Lord downstairs here and below my feet, Lord. Always we remember that wall of people that we're just expecting, Lord, that you'll touch their heart and they'll come on to you, Father. Amen. We pray that you'd just be with us now in the furtherment of this service. Give us this day our daily bread. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Psalms 138, verse 8. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. All right, let's read Psalms 85:1. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? You may be seated in the Lord at his blessing in the reading of the word. There's always a rejoicing. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? That's what a revival is supposed to do. As we were in the Bible study last night, and one of them older sisters back there, Sister Gabby's girl, she's the oldest one, but she asked the question, what's the difference in resurrection and revival? Well, we're not talking about resurrection today. Sure, we're supposed to be resurrected sitting in heavenly places as we were talking about. We're supposed to already have the Holy Ghost. If you already have the Holy Ghost, then you need a revival. You need something, what, to spark what's already inside of you. Something to make you, and the way I see it is you can't help but see a revival because something changes in the individuals. And you can see it. We know that it is an individual revival, but if you see faces, listen, this is just this way it is. If you see somebody, you know, get a spark of a revelation, or you see somebody that hadn't been to church in a while, or, you know, you see them, you see something moving, you see something changing, you see, at least maybe there's, expressions on your face now where you've sat all the years with, you know, with a stone face, you know, it's just something. What everybody else is looking for the church to fill up and us to have a worship team in here. Brother Russ, he said he could get us a worship team for about $5,000. He could bring them in here and bring the lights and the smoke and you know, and all that. And we could have a revival, but that wouldn't be a revival coming from God. That would just be making you feel good. And you can do that to yourself without the $6,000. But, you know, people do that though, but they pay for that to come in to spark the people. But I think if we'll just realize it's got to come from in here anyway. It's got to come from deep down inside of you. I mean deep down, not in the spirit realm, not in the flesh realm, but down in the soul of man. There's got to be a revival to revive what's already inside of you. Okay? Kind of like we were explaining last night. It's something that's there. And something that, you know, Brother Branham said that David didn't lose his salvation. He lost the joy. He lost the joy. Have we lost the joy of what we're doing? As Brother Dale was reading the quote, you know, this morning, you know, there's a lot of things that we just come into church, and have we not changed in the past year, 2 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, whatever it is, if we've not, something has brought us closer to God or either brought us away from God, one of the two.
Right.
Remember, Brother Brown said, a Christian cannot stand idle. God is not idle. So if you're standing in one place, remember, you know that how to backslide? It's just stay in the place you're in. Because what's going to happen is the ones that are not backslid is going to move forward, and you're going to be going, well, I didn't go backwards. Well, yeah, you did. You just didn't realize you went backwards because everybody else went forward. But thank God that backsliding has a reverse. You can get back in line as a backslider, can get right back in line if you'll do what? Have a revival. Let something spark in you that hadn't sparked before. I'm going to, you know, Brother Branham says it's all on your confession, right? It's what you confess. So if you confess that you're going to have a revival, then let it start. Let something, one little something start in your life that'll move you toward that. Let's read the prayer. Brother Joe's got it up on the monitor downstairs. But this is this covers it all. Brother Branham in 1964, recognizing your day in this message, he said, God, create in me a revival. Let me be the revival. Let each one of us be the revival in me. Make me, Lord, to hunger. Make me to thirst. Create in me, Lord, that what is needed in me. Right. See, there's things I need in me that Brother John doesn't need. But there's things that Brother John needs that I don't need. Each one of us have different needs because we're all different parts of the body, one body, but we're different parts. We're different members. So let us from this hour on be thine. More consecrated servant, a better servant, more blessed of you, more able, more humbler, more kinder, more willing to work, more looking to the things that are positive and forgetting the things that are in the past and the negatives. Let us press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ. Turn down all that negativism. Just get away from it. You know the best way to combat negativism? Don't make no comment at all. Because if you start yapping back and forth and back and forth, you become negative. But the best thing to do is just leave it alone. Just don't even say nothing to it. Don't even say nothing to negativism. Just leave it alone. Don't even talk to it. It's the devil anyway. All right, let's go to number two, the resurrection of Lazarus. We'll just kind of go background this because we're going to try to get to a place that we were talking about last Sunday at the very end of the service, a transfer of power. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the power. Listen, we have got, as we were talking downstairs in the Sunday school class, when we read the book of Revelations, it doesn't scare a Christian in this end time to read the book of Revelations. Because we know the symbols, we know what's placed, we know that a prophet of God gave us, he gave us all of the church ages, he gave us all of the men, None of these men, I don't think, thought they were a church age messenger. They had a message. It was a powerful message. They went forth, but they died. But here we are with all of it, the full 7-course meal, the open book. Everything's here for us information-wise that we can look in the book of Revelations and literally live through it. I said literally. Because John didn't literally live through it. He saw a vision. And then he died. But you and I are that part that we see of the vision that we're either going to make it or not. We're either going to be Christ or the Antichrist. Because that's usually what the book of Revelations is. It's the Antichrist and Jesus Christ. And that's pretty much all of the book of Revelations. And what? And the actions of what goes on to the people during that time. Because there's people to be saved, people to be deceived, people to be foolish virgin, and all that is in the book of Revelation. And we see it not coming, we see it right here. And we can live through it because the prophet has brought us a message. And as I was telling him downstairs, all these people, like Brother Dale said, we need to find this seventh angel message because the Bible promises. Let's get back to the Bible. Okay, let's get back to the Bible. The book of Revelation says, I'm going to send you 7 angels. And they will have a message. And to the angel of the church of, and to the angel of the church of, well, there's one in Laodicea. We got to find him. If Brother Branham wasn't the message, then we need to find somebody. Because it's coming, because it's a promise in the Bible. I don't know. Anyway, it's just the devil. It's just the Antichrist spirit. I told him last night, Brother Brown said, if we get the what? True revelation of the two spirits in the framework, and I'm going to say this, the framework of this church.
Right.
Because that's what's killing us.
Right. Exactly.
What's the framework? The building. It starts right here. You and I are going to make the whole Bible come to pass.
Amen.
Whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian.
Right.
Amen. One way or the other, you're fitting in there somewhere.
Right. Right.
And today when we talk about this, we're going to talk about 2 different powers. One power, you're going to hear Brother Ernie probably say it next Sunday. He loves to say this word, dunamis, which is the word dynamite.
Right. Right.
So you got dunamis power, and then you've got a power called... And it's different, a power called exousia or exousia. There's 2 different powers. One power is an inherent power that you have inside of you. Another power is power and authority given to you. Because Satan can't have dunamis.
Right.
But he can have exousia. Exousia is authority. That means authority was, just like you say in the book of Revelations, we'll read in a minute, power was given. Well, that's not dunamis. Dunamis power is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Glory.
So he can't give the Holy Ghost to the devil.
Right.
But he can give him exousia or authority or a limited amount of power. But dunamis, there is not a limited amount of power.
Right.
Dunamis is what created this world.
Amen?
Right. Amen?
Right.
So anyway, now if you fall asleep, you'll know what the end of the service is. The resurrection of Lazarus and the Lula Church. Brother Brown says, Brother, I feel real good about it now. Anyway, what this church needs today is a good revival, not a new doctrine, a new order. So we're not looking for a new doctrine, new order, new person. Just a stirring up of what you already know about.
Right.
All right? And remember, it comes from you. Just going back for a couple of quotes that I didn't put in here, save time. It comes from you. It doesn't come from the preacher, can't bring it.
Right.
Now we can bring the way to get one. The way to get the revival, but we can't press you into that revival because it's a word revival. Now, we can pump you up and give you some exousia, but dunamis power is what we're looking for. That's a power that is inherited. Remember, what is the promise? Brother Dale was talking about it. They didn't receive the promise. They didn't receive the promise of dunamis. They had exousia. They had exousia power. They had authority. Barak, David, all the different ones in the Old Testament, they had that permitted power or authority to do what they did, but they did not have dunamis power.
Right.
Dunamis power comes from inside of you. Dynamite. Explosion. Everybody okay with that? But there had to be a transfer of power, and we'll get to that in just a second, but let's finish these. Let's go to quote number three. So it's got to come from you. It can't come from your neighbor. It's got to come from you. You've got to start a revival in your own life. And when you do, it will change you. Hello? It will change you. I want to be changed, because if we're not changed now, forget the body change. Forget the body change if we don't get changed now. Brother, the Bible says we're changed from what? Glory to glory. We're being born again. It's a process. It's because of the lack of revival among the people. There is no revival. Now, we know we're going to read the quote where Brother Brown says the bride hadn't had a revival yet, but she's going to have one. But there's no revival here. They sit and listen, go home. Well, I guess that was pretty good. Uh-huh. There's not that zeal. Now, remember that word zeal is fervor or passion. There's not that something in the people that should be there. Now, he's not saying that they're not Christians. There's just something in the church or in the people that, or there's something they're lacking. And I believe what it is a word revival. It's the revival of the word of God in the people. But we're promised that this revival is going to come, folks, whether you can. It's like, who was it? It may have been Brother Branham. He said, now, you know, you go out in the morning and about 4 o'clock in the morning, you get on your knees and you say, God, the sun's not going to come up. I believe the sun's not going to come up. That sun's going to come up because God has already put in motion that thing's going to come up every how many hours. So you can't pray that down. Now you can pray that it stops. Because somebody did one time. Right. Somebody named Joshua with exousia power, not dunamis, right. But he got authority from God to do what he said. What about us? That's what Brother Brown's always trying to tell us. What about us with the power inside of us? Through the whole Old Testament, they did all of that without the Holy Ghost inside of their soul, leading them and guiding them. That authority was enough for them to stop the sun, change the course of all different things. Right. But where's the revival? It's got to be among the people. There is no revival. They go and listen and say, well, that was a pretty good sermon. There's not that zeal. There's not that something in the people that should be there. Right. Now, what, Brother Rush, you looking for it? That's what it is. There's that something. Right. There's that something that we're still here 50 years later. There's that something we're lacking. But we can't keep saying there's something lacking something. Somewhere down the road, something's got a spark. Right. If something's got to hit us, I don't know, God may have to hit us with a 10-ton brick. Some of us can be touched by feathers. Some of us, it takes bricks. Remember, some come kicking and screaming, and some come praising the Lord. So I was one of those that come kicking and screaming. So, but you know what? Same results.
Right.
We're here.
Amen.
We have arrived. So let's go to Joel 2. Here's your promise. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore or revive to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, caterpillar, palmworm. Because remember, whatever those bugs did, they never killed the tree.
Right.
They never killed the tree.
Right.
The tree still had life in it.
Right.
Let's just say that tree had dunamis life in it.
Right.
It had life that, what, Brother Brown said, that life went down into them roots and just hid.
Right.
And then God just called it right back up.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So I will restore to you. So it's a promise. Now, maybe that's a promise to the Jews. We know that. And that's a promise to Israel, I mean. But that's a promise to me and you. Because he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Okay? But I will restore or revive to you the years that the locust has eaten, cankerworm, pommel worm, caterpillar, my great army which I sent among you. Remember, it's the same bug, just in different stages. All right, so let's go to number four. Brother Brown's talking about that little that little creek bubbling up. He said it didn't need no filter, no strainer, no pumping, no jerking, no nothing else. It's just there bubbling up. It don't have to depend on local rains to fill it up. Rains are revivals. Where that fountain, that's at that fountain of life where the carcass is, the eagles will gather. Thank God the book of Revelations tells us that there's going to be a river of life flowing out from under the throne perpetually for eternity. This thing is going to flow and keep flowing, and you're not going to need a filter. Man's not going to have to build a pump. We're not going to have maintenance workers in the millennium or in the future home. We might in the millennium, but not in the future home. Future home, everything is that perpetual dunamis power that said let there be, and it didn't hinder anything. What's the greatest hindrance? Take your finger and turn it around and go, there's the greatest hindrance. Most of us do this and stop. But you're supposed to do this. I'm my worst enemy. You're your worst enemy. But God give us a way. Amen. He give us something. He gave us a power that no person has ever been given. He give us an inherent power. And we'll read that in just a minute. Now look. Where are we at? Number four. Where the carcass is, the eagles will be gathered. So it's got to be. Now watch what he says. Why did he bring that in with rains or revival? Why did he bring that where the carcass is, the eagles will gather? Remember, the carcass is what? The Word of God. So it's got to be a word revival that this rain is going to fall onto this word that's already been there. I was thinking just a few minutes ago, as I said before, look at all this information we got. But if it's not quickened, it's dead letter.
Amen.
We've got all the information we need.
Amen.
We've had a prophet come and give us the love letter that God wrote before the foundation of the world. Delivered it to us. So what are we looking? What are we lacking? We're lacking me being the problem. But God's trying to send us a rain or a revival because He promised. Because what brought that plant back in the book of Joel? The rain. The former rain, the teaching rain, brought the life back up into that tree. Now, the tree wasn't there. He had to just rework itself because, remember, it came up in two shoots. Luther, Wesley was the stalk, Pentecost was the shuck, and then we're looking at full seed now. We're not looking at shuck. We're not looking at stalks. We're not looking at leaves. We're looking at the fully matured grain, all right? That's our revival. Now, Luther had a revival, no doubt. As we talked before, there were cycles of revival that have happened even back. You know, when Jesus stood out there in the middle of nowhere and said, let there be.
Yeah,
that
right.
Was a revival.
Right.
And that revival never waned.
Right.
We can get back to that. But that same power that's in him is supposed to be in me and you.
Amen.
I said supposed to be. But we limit it. We limit it bad. But where the carcass is, the eagles will gather. You don't have to pump up a revival. You don't have to pump up nothing. Only thing you have to do is just come to the fountain. It's always full of good fresh water and there's no end to it. It just keeps on bubbling. All right, let's go to number five. That's the way you get a revival. It's when you really get in the spirit of revival. I'm saying again, how many of you really want a revival? I mean, I want a real revival. I want something to spark in my life where that you can see it. Welsh revival? Policeman walking down the street? Where's the Welsh revival? He said, it's in me. And if I paraphrase for a few minutes, I'd be the guy I'd say, if you'll hang around a little while, you'll see it. It's in me. It's when you really get in the spirit of revival, not whooping it up sometimes or something, but by praying it down. Because that's where the rain comes from. It comes down. Until there's a revival strikes your heart, until all the logs of ism, all the logs of fanaticism, all the logs of systems, all the logs of unbelief flow out. Then the waters of God come falling down upon you. There you are. All right, let's go to number six. So we got to get to the real meat of this in just a second. All right, now look. Third seal. Brother Brown said the bride. Let's read the whole thing. Now that's what the reason today that the revivals that we're supposed to have. We have denominational revivals. We haven't had a real stirring. Now remember, you got to be careful in reading this, because go back to the book of Joel, that tree was, Brother Bram called it the restoration of the bride tree. So that was a bride tree that was growing, but what ate it down? This right here. Denominationalism eat it down. The palmer worm, canker worm, caterpillar, and the locust all were what? Anti-word. Because they eat at the truth. Okay? So that's what he's saying right here. Watch. We've had denominational revivals, but what did it do? It can't eat the tree. See, it was doing a reverse effect. But look. It never was a word revival.
Right.
It never was a word revival. It was just a revival of feeling good and being happy. And sure, there were some souls that came in. And sure, there was some healing. And sure, there was some different things. And there's you some prayer cloths. I just remembered that. And there was all these different things, but it wasn't a word revival. The only word revival we're under now is what the prophet of God brought us. Because it restored us back to the faith of the fathers. Nothing. Luther never restored us back to anything except the just shall live by faith. Don't have to do penance. We just have to live by the faith that God gives us in the Word of God. But now here we are. Here at the end time, we have denominational revivals. We haven't had a real stirring. And look, that's 1963. He just came out of the greatest healing revival that the world had ever known.
Exactly right.
And he said, no. No, no, no. He said it four times, five times. No, 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 sir. What? Where's he preaching? He's preaching the seals. There's where the revival was to begin. When he said the Bible became a brand new book in the opening of the seals, that man was in and started a revival. But it was a word revival. You say, well, it looked so bad because he didn't have as many healing campaigns and people kicked him out of their denominations. Well, that's what it'll do for me and you.
Right.
We were talking last night. We worry about, and we do, we worry about the things that are, the external things that are happening around us. But I mean, look, Cain was Abel's biggest problem. Two brothers. Judas was Jesus' biggest problem. Same church.
Right.
So don't think that the problem's going to be out there. No. Like I said before, when we get a revelation of the two spirits in the framework of this church, we'll become an invincible army. Why? Because we're weakened, and that's not putting it toward any one person.
Right.
Zero. I'm not thinking of one person except the devil. That weakens the true people. Sorry, it just does. It weakens the true people. That's why I said several weeks ago, thank God he's thinning the ranks. You know what? When he thins them, you don't blame nobody. You know, when Brother Dale gets up here and runs about half of you off, don't blame him. Blame the devil. Or you can blame God. I wouldn't do that. But God's the one that's thinning this thing out. God's the one that said, hang on a minute, let's let this thing mature, and then I'm going to send my angels, and they're going to harvest. And they're going to cut down wheat and tares. And then I'm going to divide them, and one's going in one place and one's going in another. But that's just the way it is, folks. We're looking, maybe you're looking for the government to shut us down or whatever. But, if they keep telling us that we can't have church, it's coming from our own ranks. The Baptist has never got up and stood and said, well, now, them message churches, they need to just go home and listen to tapes. No, it's somebody from our own ranks.
Right.
It's the truth. Right. Whether it's hurt your feelings or not, it's the truth. We're not being told by the denominational world that we need to shut the churches down and start listening to tapes. It's by people in our own ranks. And I'm sorry. But now look, we haven't. Oh, we got millions and millions of church members, but not a revival nowhere. No, no. The bride hasn't had a revival yet. See? There's been no revival there, no manifestation of God to stir the bride yet. See? We're looking for it. It will take those seven unknown thunders, as Bob was talking about the other night. Don't let that scare you. That's just the full revelation of the book of redemption. The thunders is what? What we can understand that the world can't understand. How that God, as Brother Aaron was saying, how that God can take a human flesh, change it from the inside out, where the devil went into God's Eden and started from the outside. Really, he started from the inside, but he couldn't get all the way into their soul because they had the Holy Ghost in their soul, but he worked on their emotion. He worked on Eve's feelings. He worked on her natural brain and got her to do what she did. Well, now what's God doing? He's using the same thing in reverse. He's bringing me and you to perfection, and Satan's going, no, they're still looking old. I'm sure Satan is not an idiot. But he was standing there one day and he said, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down.
Right.
If you be the Son of God, turn these stones. I know you're hungry. Turn these stones to bread. I know you need something to eat. And then that man looks at him and says, Satan, it's written.
Right.
What? Word.
That's it.
Amen. The word is what Satan can't stand.
That's right.
Jesus didn't reach and grab him and go, whoa! No, he just looked at him and he said, I'm just telling you what the word says.
All right.
Amen. That's it,
brother. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And I am sure that Jesus didn't have to holler. Jesus never hollered at a demon. Ever. They hollered at him. But he never hollered at a demon. You don't have to scream at a demon. Demons scream out at you, but you never have to holler at no demon if you got a little bit of this dunamis we're talking about here.
Right.
We'll talk about that in a second. We're getting to it. Bride hasn't had a revival yet. There's been no revival, no manifestation of God to stir the bride. It'll take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. Wake her up. Remember, even in Matthew 25, they were all 10 asleep. 10 wise, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish, they all had to be woke up. But what happened? The 5 wise had dunamis. They had the oil. They had the power that they needed, that when the bridegroom made the call, they were able to walk into it. And the ones that weren't did not have that dunamis. They didn't have the power to what? Oil their lamps, to make their lamps cut on, right? Now look, let's read this one more right here. Number 7. That's the way God does. He humiliates us in our educational system. Not as I'm trying to support ignorance, but I'm trying to tell you the difference. Education can never bring life. It takes the Spirit of God to bring life. And that life must not come out of just the intellectual revival. Now, we've had some of them. We've had some intellectual revivals. But it's got to come out of the Bible, word revival. And that word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when it falls, remember, it's got to fall, got to come down. When it falls today and quickens, you get the same results than you did the book of Acts 2, exactly. Always has, always will be, because it's the Spirit of God that conditions the atmosphere. That's what we were talking about last week. It has to be a Holy Ghost atmosphere, and it has to emanate from you, because, you know, you can get anointed by the Holy Ghost and still be lost.
Right.
But you can't be the Holy Ghost and be lost.
Right.
But you can be anointed by the Holy Ghost and be lost, but you can't. If you condition the atmosphere. Now watch this right here, number 8, Pergamene church age. But God never placed signs ahead of the word. Signs follow the word. That's when Elijah told the woman to bake a cake for him first, according to the word of the Lord. When she did as the word said. Now see, that's our whole thing. When we do as the word said, then see results.
Right.
Brother Brown says, give them the word test. Well, have you ever give yourself one?
Right.
Come on, brother. Have you ever give yourself a word test?
Right.
Do you really believe what you believe?
Right.
Ask yourself that question. Because watch. Said the proper sign came. Come to the word first.
Right.
And then watch the miracle.
Right.
The seed word is what? Energized by the Spirit. So that word, the word, like the word on the page is there. But when it's energized or put in a Holy Ghost atmosphere or when something comes to give it. Now watch. Let's read this right here in John 14. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my word. Is that okay? I'm not adding to or taking from because God's word is the commandment.
Right.
If you love me, keep my words. But he didn't stop there because you can keep every one of the Ten Commandments as the rich young ruler did and have one thing wrong and remember what happened. But now watch. And I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter. So he's got to give you something beside the commandments. He's got to give you something.
Amen.
What is it? And he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. What is it? The Spirit of truth.
Amen.
Whom the world cannot receive. This world absolutely knows nothing about this. They've lived under the exousia power for a long time. Permitted power, or power that God would anoint somebody to do something. But dunamis power is something the world doesn't know anything about. Even the five foolish virgins, they were virgins, but they had no dunamis. They had no power because their power would have took them in a rapture.
Right?
They lived under exousia though, because they were virgins. They were under the power of God. Come on, people. I'm telling you the truth. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it understandeth him not. That word see is not see through your eyes. It understandeth him not, neither knoweth him. Remember Jesus told him, he said, the world see me no more, but you'll see me. Now how we see him through the word.
Right.
But it's not just the word. It's got to be a living word.
Amen. Right. Amen.
But ye know him. Ye know him. Here's a promise. Why do ye know him? Because of that Spirit of truth who I'm going to give you to help you keep my commandments.
Right.
But ye know him. You know, you can really, it's okay. You know somebody. But when that somebody you know dwells inside of you,
that's
a big difference.
Amen.
There's a lot of people knows of God.
Amen. Sure.
But we're supposed to be God made manifest in another form.
Right.
Excuse me. Neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
Right.
In you. What? The truth of the word equals power.
Right.
Not just the word.
Right.
Not just the word. The word with power, the truth of the word equals power because we're going to talk about this in just a minute when we take this transfer of power. We're going to watch how Satan diluted it and made it what? Brother Brown said, we read it last night. He makes the people cold, formal, and powerless. No power. All right, John 14, let's read. But these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So, surprise. The Comforter is the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Yeah.
Okay? It doesn't take a revelation now. It's written in there in black and white. Well, it's written in there in red. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost,
right,
whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Huh? And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you.
Amen.
What a promise. John 16, verse 12, 13. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Because you've been living under exousia power. You've been living up, because when Jesus told them to go cast out devils, sure, the power to cast out devils was dunamis. But it was the authority God gave them to do that through His power. They had no power.
That's right.
That He gave, I give you. He said, I give you power to cast out devils. I give you what? He gave them the power to do it. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, who the Comforter, who the Holy Ghost, is come, He will guide you into all truth.
Amen.
Now that river that's going to come out from under the throne there in the future home is not going to be impeded by anything. It's just going to be a flowing river.
Right.
And you and I are going to be able to enjoy the greatest water that we've ever drank. But you know what? We're drinking of it now. If you don't have the river of life flowing out of you right now, you got a problem. But whatsoever he shall hear, oh, I'm sorry, for he shall not speak of himself. Listen, folks, he's speaking of me and you.
Right.
John 14 through John 17, God, the Father, is speaking through the Son, and he is transferring all the power to me and you.
Amen.
Oh, I don't believe that. Well, you can be over there in that exousia group. You can just get an anointing and you'll still be here when the rapture takes place. But he shall show you things to come. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he shall show you things to come. He's not, you say, well, now listen, let's don't forget Jesus Christ. No, let's don't. But I'm telling you what he said. He has transferred that power that he had. Because we'll read it in just a second. That the power Jesus had was from the word that he spoke. I'll read you scripture here in just a second, okay? Everybody okay? All right. Now watch. Let's read it one more time. Howbeit he, when the Spirit of truth is come, he shall guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Listen, you can't make the Holy Ghost speak error.
That's right.
That's what he's talking about. He's going to hear straight from God.
Right.
Because he is God. There's no double-minded man except me and you.
Yeah.
We're the only double-minded people there is. God's not double-minded. What he speaks, the Holy Ghost hears, and he gives it to me and you. So now where is the problem? In the transferring of power, watch this. Let's go back then to our favorite book, the book of Genesis.
Yeah.
And we look in the book of Genesis that there was a man standing in creation. And he said all, he didn't say then, but all power was in his hand. There was nothing.
Right.
And he said, let there be. And folks, let there be created universes just from the power that he had to create from nothing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, things were created that didn't have, you know, you and I used to, well, it's easy for us to make this organ here. Why? Because we know where to buy plastic. We know where to buy the metal. We know where to get this. We know where to get the reeds. We know where to get the electrical panels and all these things. We know how to do that. God don't need that. That man stood out somewhere in eternity. And he said, let there be.
Glory.
And every element that's in that piano was created. Because it all comes from the earth. Every bit of that comes from the earth, right? So let's watch the transfer of power. We see this power, it was given to a man named Adam to be ruler. Rule the place. Don't bother me with it. You take care of it. You rule this place. Because remember, Adam had part of his daddy inside of him. Right? He breathed the breath of eternal life, and he became a living soul. And there was Adam standing there with power.
Glory.
And he was told that if this mountain needs to be moved, or if this tree needs to be moved, or if you need to move a river, all you got to do is say it. You don't have to go. You ain't got to go have a conference. He didn't have to look God up every 15 minutes. Does that sound familiar? He doesn't have to go look up the preacher every 15 minutes. Adam believed what God told him. But we know what happened in the fall. And during that fall, God had to take some of that power back away from him. Because he could not, as Brother Aaron was talking about, it takes a male and a female to have children. But now it doesn't take a male and a female to have what Adam and Eve did to have children. Everybody got that? Everybody got that? Everybody stand up. Those of you that are asleep, wake up. Stand up. Thank you, Brother Boyd. Just do this. Just praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And just stomp the devil. And there you go. Sounds good. Everybody good? Now just do your neck like this. All righty. Now sit back down. We need some of that dunamis and exousia. I opened my boring you. So there was a permitted power, though. Watch.
Right.
That power, it never diminished the power of the Creator.
Right.
For Adam to do what he did. Did not diminish that dunamis or any of that power that God had to create. But what did God have to do? God had to pull it back in.
Right.
Because, as we were talking last night, if y'all thought about this, that you've got in your soul right now, you have the Creator.
Amen.
That can create a world and go live on it.
Exactly right.
Inside of you today.
Right.
But the problem, Brother Brown said, but there's you're withheld by a bar. What's the bar? The bar is you.
Right.
The bar is your thoughts and your ideas, because if God would give you that power, you'd either say bye-bye and you'd go live on another world by your lonesome.
Yeah.
Or that guy that pulls out in front of you tomorrow morning, coming from Pioli. Pioli Junction, right there where everybody thinks the four-way stop is a two-way. Then you just go, see you later. See, that's power without character. That's what Brother Ram was talking about. You have the power. We're looking for the character. You got the power. If you got the Holy Ghost in you, you got the Creator inside of you. But it's so bound by you.
Right.
We're our own worst enemies. But God's trying to tell us that He's pulling away all of these things. He's given us virtue, knowledge. Because remember, when Jesus stepped on the earth, listen, when Jesus stepped on the earth and when they put Him on the cross, He literally could have just destroyed the whole world with one finger.
Right.
Listen, what He thought in His mind, He could have destroyed the whole world. But He was so under subjection to that, what was inside of Him, that dunamis, that power, He did. You don't think Jesus, you know, he looked at Pilate, and Pilate said, I got power to take, you know, I can just make this thing go away. And Jesus said, you don't have any power. The power that I got, you ain't never seen before. I could call 10,000 legions of angels, wipe this place off, and I could just start all over again. But you know, Pilate didn't even take that as a threat. He just looked at him and said, okay, all right, I'm going to let you go. Right? He was wanting to let him go, but he had to be crucified. Why? For me and you. To get that dunamis power inside of us, because the power had transferred to exousia power. Let me read the definition of the two, and then that will help you as I'm talking. Dunamis power is inherent power. Okay? You have inherited power. As Brother Dale was talking about the promise. The promise was this dunamis power. Inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. Moral power and excellence of soul. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But now, if y'all would, if you wouldn't mind skipping all the way down to the other Greek lexicon, Strong's number 1849, exousia means power and authority, and it even means power of choice. Go to the, see if you can find the other one, brother. Thank you. Exousia means authority. Sure, it gives you authority and gives you the right to do things and the liberty to do them. He told Satan, he said, you have the liberty to totally destroy Job, but one thing, you don't have enough power to take his life because that stands with me. That was dunamis. But he gave him exousia. Look, power of choice. Liberty of doing as one pleases, leave, or permission. Physical and mental power. Listen, dunamis is not physical or mental power. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not. Dunamis power is God's power. It's God, us having the mind of Christ, as we were talking about. This is not the mind of Christ. This is permitted power, because that word exousia is the power in the book of Revelations that was given in the fourth seal. The power was given for that horse rider to do the things he done. He didn't have dunamis power, or he'd have had the Holy Ghost. He had exousia power, or authority, or the right, or the power of choice. See, Satan doesn't have dunamis power. He has exousia because he chose. You know what he chose? He chose that power over dunamis power. Yeah. If he'd have chose dunamis power, Brother Brown said he'd have been our brother. Yeah. If he could get the Holy Ghost, but he can't. But he can have a power, a permitted power, or a power of choice, or a power of authority. Everybody get the difference in the two. Right. The first one is an inherent power.
Right.
Romans 8 says we're heirs and joint heirs with God. That makes us equal. That is our inheritance. Our inheritance was not this. It was the one that's inside. That ought to start a revival. It's what's inside. It's working its way out. We have dunamis power. We got something Satan don't even have. He can't have the power we have. But we do give it to him.
Yeah.
We do give it to him.
Oh, yeah.
All right, where's my note? All down through the Old Testament, it was exousia power. David had exousia power. Samson had exousia power. They didn't have dunamis. Sure, it was, listen, don't get me wrong, it was the Holy Ghost anointing them, but it couldn't go down and give them inherent power.
Amen.
It could give them authority to do what they needed to do. Which was what? Now listen, exousia power is not bad. It's bad if you keep it that way. But when you receive dunamis power, it does away with exousia. Listen, you and I got to realize something. When we come to a place that we have dunamis power, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's the person. Remember all those sermons we preached on the I Am? That's where that person is. That I Am guy is inside of you.
Amen.
Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. But it wasn't in anybody else. The Holy Ghost was not given in the Old Testament, so there was exousia power. There was power that would drop down. It would anoint for a time. Now, it didn't anoint Moses to kill an Egyptian. You can't hang that on God. But he had the authority to do what God said. Amen? That's why, I'm telling you, that's why that the denominations or even Satan can have authority and you think it is dunamis power because it's really close. Really close. But one is an inherent. One comes from right deep down inside. The other one comes from on top of you and anoints you.
Right.
So the Old Testament had an anointing or a permitted power to do what they needed to do for a time. But listen, dunamis power is not something to be given and taken away.
Amen.
When you inherit something, especially when you inherit from God, He's not an Indian giver.
Right.
He don't give it to you and take it back. Now, He can give you exousia and take it back because He does it all the time.
Right.
He did it with the first horse rider, second horse rider. He let them go to a certain point and stop. He let Satan go to a certain point and stop. But now with dunamis power, who stops dunamis power? You and I do. You and I stop that power. Listen, Lord mercy. Not even got started good. So the prophets were anointed. Now we know it was the power of God because what they spoke, the power that we have now, the dunamis power is energized by the word. I just read you the quote.
Amen.
Because you can't just, and I love what God did because he's so wonderful. He didn't just come out and go, all right, you can do whatever you want to do. I'm going to just give you power. There's always the word. The word. Even Jesus Christ, who was dunamis power, he didn't receive it. He was it. He had to stay in the grave for a certain length of time. Amen? He had to sleep. He had to eat. He had to do these things in his humanity. That you would think, well, if he had dunamis power. But now remember, there was a time when Jesus was telling the people different things that was going to happen. John 14, 15, 16, 17. But in Matthew 28, 18, Jesus came up and said, all power.
Right.
I have now unlimited power.
Right.
Because I am now body, spirit, and soul, eternal.
Amen.
That same spirit. Everybody get a surprised look on their face. Is in you now.
Amen.
Right,
exactly. Romans 8 says if the same spirit, Brother Dick's, one of Brother Dick's favorite scriptures. If the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it will quicken your mortal body.
Right.
That's not exousia though. That's dunamis. That's coming from right down inside of here. Nobody will get a body change from exousia.
Right.
Because it's power given and power taken back. Power given. But dunamis power, we got to realize this. When God gave us that power, He's not taking it back.
Right.
You know what? He don't want it back. He wants you to enjoy it.
Right.
Everybody okay with that?
Amen.
He wants you to enjoy it.
Right.
But that transfer of power one day came back.
Right.
It was creative power in the beginning. And then when Gabriel came to Mary and said, Mary, you're going to be overshadowed by dunamis. Mm-hmm. Amen? You're going to be overshadowed by the same dunamis that created the world.
Amen.
And I'm going to create in you, and the Bible calls it a thing, that thing conceived in you is conceived by the what? Holy Ghost. Dunamis.
Right.
But remember, as we've spoken before, and Brother Brown tells us, Mary wasn't dunamis. She didn't have dunamis power at the time. She was just bringing a baby. She was just an oven. She was an incubator. She was bringing the thing forth.
Right.
But what was born of her was dunamis power.
Amen.
It was the man himself, not a second person or a third person.
Amen.
Everybody okay with that?
Right.
But that creative power came to Mary. And what happened is John 1:1 stepped into this dimension.
Right. Amen.
In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. The Word was God.
Right.
Then John 14, and that dunamis stepped into flesh.
Right.
And dwelt among us. Now, what did I tell you about that? Do you think about Jesus or you think about yourself? That's the same way happened to you.
Right.
You walk around in the flesh one day and we were doing the things of the flesh one day and the flesh was taking over all the things we were doing because we had a carnal nature. The things we were doing were not of God.
Right.
But when dunamis power came in, it's supposed to change you.
Right.
I said it's supposed to change you
right.
and turn you into a Christian.
Glory.
All right, let's look at this right here, though. That power then was transferred. God, where, like Brother Aaron said, God had to have, you know, God don't need anything.
Right.
And to me, this shows the sovereignty of God more than anything. God doesn't need us to survive. He doesn't need us to do anything. But he does need us to reproduce himself.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, hallelujah.
Glory.
He does. You say, God don't need nothing. No, he doesn't. But he does. He decided in his plan, he decided to need a female.
Right.
He decided to need a bride that he was not just going to have a bride and just leave her there. No. He said, I'm not only going to make a bride, I'm going to just step over in her.
Right.
And I'm going to destroy the effects of the devil, and I'm going to be standing up there right beside of him. We're going to be talking side by side, and all this is going on down here in the world. And the bride of Christ is just walking right into the Word.
Right.
And Satan can't do anything about it.
Right.
Because you can't have exousia power over dunamis power.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
So the transfer of power now has what? Is Jesus here? Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus Christ here?
Amen.
Hold on. Is Jesus Christ in human flesh here?
Amen.
Ah! One more time. Is Jesus Christ in human flesh here?
Amen.
Well, what are we still doing here? The physical Lord Jesus is not here. You know that. But watch what the scripture says in Matthew 26 verse 64. We'll get back to our transfer of power though came when? On the day of Pentecost. That was the transfer of power. God had held it. He had walked on the earth for 30 years, but 3.5 years of ministry, and then he leaves. And he tells us all these great and wonderful things. Where'd he go? Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man. Now the Son of Man is God in human flesh.
Right.
Come on now.
Right.
Not Son of God.
Right.
He said, you shall see or understand where the Son of Man is going to be.
Right.
May I paraphrase? May I? Is that okay? Is that not what that says?
Right.
Well, let me read it the way it says it then, for those of you that are doubters. Hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. We're living that. We're living Revelations 10:7.
Right?
But what are we seeing? We're seeing the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of, not, Brother Brown said it's not the right hand. But you know what it is? It's a human man. It's a human that once was a human mortal man is standing in a dimension. Not this dimension, but he has transferred all that power. Now, if he kept it, we don't have it.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
But on the day of Pentecost, he took that right hand, because what did he do when he brought that power or dunamis on the day of Pentecost? He transferred it to the last piece of the Gentiles that was going to get it. Now, we know he's got to go to the Jews, but he delivered it on that day. And Stephen, when they stoned him, what in the world happened? The dimension opened up before he got ready to die, and he said, I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Listen, Stephen wasn't seeing it where he had to go to it. He saw where it was at.
Amen.
He saw he was in the throne room in his soul, and when that dimension broke out, he said, that's where I'm going. So he transferred the power to me and you. Now watch this. Or a position. That right hand of power, we know that's a position, all right? Real quick. Let's go to Matthew 28. Let's read Matthew 28:18. I think it's the next one. Jesus came and spake unto them saying, all power. Now he lied if that's not the truth.
Right.
All power in heaven and earth. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, when he goes to the right hand of power, he should have kept it. It was his. Amen? It was his. But he had told them so many times that he's going to send something back. Let's read here in Luke 4, verse 32. Now this is, he's getting ready to ascend. But what does he say? Watch this. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. So he's telling them right then, look, I'm not keeping this. I need you to have it. Because in John 17, he prayed that we would be one as he and the Father were one. And the only way you can do that is have dunamis power. Because it's the same power all the way across. Listen, the Father don't have this much dunamis. It's not a graph. The Father don't have this dunamis power, and Jesus had this much, and we got this much. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. He's got the full load. But he takes that full load and he transfers it right down to me and you. Amen? Because listen, keep going. Remember, keep in the back of your mind. Word revival. Word revival. All right, let's go to Luke. I may have missed one there. Let me get back over here. Let's go back. You're right, Joe. Okay. What was, look, I will send the promise of my Father. What is that promise? That was the promise that the Old Testament saints couldn't get. Amen? That's the promise of my Father. I'm going to send it. Not on a piece of paper. I'm going to send it in human beings. And tarry in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power or dunamis from on high. This is the good part, if I can get it all together here. Okay, look, let's go to Acts 1, verse 7 and 8. I love this scripture. Now watch. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power. Now, is that two different powers? No, that's not exousia and dunamis. That's dunamis all the way across.
Right.
But ye shall receive power after.
Right.
That's why Brother Branham said, he said, those denominations are cold, formal, and powerless. Without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are powerless against the devil. But ye shall receive dunamis after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now what are they witnessing?
Right.
His word.
Right.
In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Thank God that uttermost part said the United States of America. Because
right.
That's me and you. But ye shall receive power, and that power is, listen, you can go to the that's dunamis power, inherent power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. Now, we having the nature of the devil, dunamis can't get in there.
That's right.
We can have exousia though. Because
right.
It anoints.
Amen.
It's authority. You can have exousia power.
Right.
But you can't have dunamis power unless it's inside of you. Inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing, what? Oh, we're supposed to show it. Exerts and puts forth. Power for performing miracles. Moral power and excellence of soul. How do we show it? Brother Dick said, how you show it? You show it by the Word of God. You show it by what? What you are. Because you remember, you are the Word made flesh.
Right.
Amen.
Exactly right.
By dunamis power, he has transferred everything he said into me and you.
Come on.
But still, we limit it by our own ideas. Let's read Romans 13, verse 1 and 2. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers.
Right. That's it.
All right? For there is no power but of God.
Right.
Even exousia, permitted power, comes from God. Because remember, Satan has zero power. Zero. Because he can't reproduce himself. He can't create. You and I are creators. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Whoso therefore, look, the powers that be are ordained of God. So there's your two powers. There's no power but God, but there's powers that are ordained of God. Listen, Satan was ordained to do what he was supposed to do. That's what the Bible says. He had a job to do, and God let him do it. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the now what's the ordinance of God? The Word.
Right.
Not the pots, not the cleaning of this, and not the sacrifices, the Word. The Word is the ordinance. So where do we get in trouble? By resisting the Word.
Right.
And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Boy, pretty tough. That's a mouthful. All right, let's go to Romans 1:16. Paul says, now look, where is this power? For I am not ashamed of the gospel or word of Christ. For it is the power, it is the dunamis of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. Let's keep reading. We'll get finished here in a minute. Luke 4 verse 32. Watch what he says right here. And they were astonished as at his doctrine. For his word was with power. Everywhere he went, that's why he never had to scream at a demon. Because he had dunamis power. There's a lot of exousia power that tries to scream at demons. And they ain't going to move. Hello? They're not going to move. But when you have dunamis power, when you walk up and that demon speaks to you and says, what are you doing here? Why have you come to torment me before my time? And that's what's kind of weird. You know, it's really not weird, but the devil at the Legion, Jesus walks up to the Legion. He had just been in the temple in Jerusalem, and they called him a devil. They called the Son of God a devil, right? Beelzebub. Now he walks in front of a demon, Legion, and the first thing Legion says, why are you the Son of God? Now you're here. You're not supposed to be here until the devil knew he was the Son of God, and the people that were supposed to be in the religious people of the world called him a devil. How weird. For his word was with power. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us, take that finger now and do that and be happy about it.
Right.
And to us which are saved, it is the dunamis of God.
Amen.
1 Peter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us. Begotten us. Children. Begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's your, to an inheritance, the dunamis power, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, you say it's reserved in heaven. If we're sitting in heavenly places, we're right in the middle of it. We're right in the middle of it. Who are kept by the power of dunamis, power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed today.
Amen.
The right in you. Now you can take that finger and do the same thing. Because listen, the full revelation is not till now. This is the full revelation of that dunamis power. Because remember, that dunamis power is so powerful it creates worlds, and it changed Jesus' body. But it hadn't changed nobody's body because it has been limited by the word that they've held.
Right.
But now we have no excuse.
Right.
Full word's been given. So in Revelations 8, let's read just for a minute here. Go back to Exodus. Revelation 6, verse 8 says, I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death. And hell followed with him. And power was given. Now that power in the Bible is exousia, or authority or power of choice or physical and mental power, the ability of strength, which one is endued. Right? So power was given. You look through all the book of Revelation. Power was given. 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 It doesn't talk that about Jesus, and it doesn't talk that about the bride. That's the devil that's given power. If you're born again, you have the power. Power's not being given to us, folks. If you're born again, you have the power inside of you already to create a world and go live on it. Look at Romans 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. How much more in the end time? Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power. I was thinking about this when I read that scripture. Listen. His power, the only thing you and I can think of in power-wise is something has to generate it, and it ebbs and flows. It goes up, it goes down, it goes up. You have a lot of power in a battery, and then all of a sudden you use the battery, and then you have no more power. You have to do something to give it more power. This you don't. When he created the world, that set in motion everything to the... Look, the future home, what is God's going to, you know, we're not going to have to rebuild stuff
right
in the future home. Now, we may in a millennium, because that's not all dunamis power. We're going to have it, but the world's not going to have it. But in the future home, everything has it. And we're not going to have to rebuild and cut down trees. And I don't know how that's going to work, but you know what? We're not going to be crowded. We're not going to have a mechanic or a... HVAC guy or... That's what dunamis power is, folks. It's unlimited power.
Glory.
Unlimited. It's only limited by the Word of God and you. Even his eternal power and Godhead. And when I was reading this, a little light came on, because look. See what kind of power you got when you have the Godhead right. That's why the prophet of God had to come in the end time to give us the correct interpretation of the Godhead.
Right.
Because Father, Son, Holy Ghost has no dunamis power.
Right.
It has exousia power.
Right. Exactly.
Dunamis power. Remember, Brother Brown said, I just wanted to see how this would work. He said, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Talk to that demon that had the table up off the ground and all that stuff, you know. He said, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He said, it never moved.
Right.
Why? That was exousia power. That was just a given power. But when he said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
right,
he said, leave this room. That table, he said, hit the ground. Well, we had the God, we got the Godhead right. That's why, Brother Brown, it's very powerful what he says. And sometimes you don't understand it, but Brother Brown said that doctrine came from the pits of hell. The Father, Son, Holy Ghost doctrine came from the pits of hell. It never was a doctrine created by God.
Right.
It was not ever, never had any dunamis power.
Right.
Now look, even though it was written in the Word, it was hidden from the eyes of the wise and prudent,
right. Right.
And revealed to babes such as will learn. Philippians 3, verse 10. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. I'm almost finished. Which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the dunamis of his resurrection.
Right.
Listen, you can't, that's why, even though the foolish virgin is anointed by exousia power, or could be even anointed by dunamis power, anointed. Because they're virgins. It never resided in them, and it can't bring them out of in a resurrection. Dunamis power will bring you out of the ground.
Glory. Thank you, Lord.
Exousia power will not bring you out of the ground. It doesn't have enough power. Because Satan can't resurrect. Satan do a lot of things, but he only does it because God permits the power for him to do it. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. All
right,
look, 2 Timothy 1, 7 through 10. And then I'm going to read you two quotes and we'll be done and we'll take communion. and foot washing. For God hath not given us, because this is Brother Ernie's favorite scripture, I guess. You'll probably hear it Sunday. And don't stand up and say, we've already heard that. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of dunamis, that power. Not exousia power, dunamis power. And of love and of a sound mind. Be not there, therefore, ashamed of the testimony, what? Of the word of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So the gospel is what has the power of God. That's why we're looking for a word revival.
Right.
God will only come back in dunamis power,
right,
not exousia.
Right.
And where is dunamis power? It's not in the leaves. It's not in the trees. It's not in the bench you're sitting in. It's in you.
Right.
There's not even dunamis power in that Bible laying up there.
Right.
That's words.
But
if you got dunamis power in you, you'll know what to read to feed that word with, to feed that power with. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. When? Before the world began. We can't lose. Two quotes. Let's read the last two. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. In the end time seed sign. We read them a couple of Sundays ago, but I think we're going to read again. Because watch. And let me set the stage here. God is waiting on us. All right? As Brother Dale's saying. But the reason he's waiting on us is because he's waiting on us. He's not waiting on himself.
Right.
Through a prophet some 60 almost years ago, 57 years ago now, he spoke this. About you. There's no dunamis power out here. Now, the dunamis power is not in a denomination. I've told y'all before. The power of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is only in the elect lady in the end time. Does everybody understand that? Say amen.
Amen.
Only in us. Look. God in his body, Christ. And Christ in his body. Look. God put the power in Christ. Dunamis power. Christ takes the dunamis power and gives it to us, the bride. Oh my, God made manifest in Christ. Christ made manifest in the bride. And as God took from the body of Adam the woman and she fell, then God has took from the body of Christ his flesh, his body, which is his word.
Amen.
And is bringing a bride out that won't fall by denomination or creed. No, sir. But she is coming back with the pure, unadulterated word of God being manifest. I hope every man that hears this tape and every woman will understand that, see?
Right.
She is the second Eve.
Exactly.
But she is not breaking and spoiling her skirts of purity and holiness to her husband. In other words, she's not working under exousia power at all. Zero. Listen, if you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, this revival that we're talking about is not exousia power coming to dunamis power.
Right.
You can't bring lower power and make higher power work.
No.
Right.
It's just knowing that what you've got
already,
it's already in the bank. Start drawing the dividends.
Right.
She'll stay with his word. Regardless of what anybody says. You can have all the ecumenical moves you want to and all the affiliations. Let's read the last one. End time seed sign, Tifton, Georgia. And I believe that these latter day signs and things that's happening, every one of them is peeling together to show that Christ is ready to come for his bride. As God in his word made manifest in a man, a perfect man. All
right,
everybody got that? A perfect man. So is God in his word coming and making an imperfect bride. Huh? Oh, God in his word made manifest in a man, a perfect man. That same dunamis power is God in His Word coming again and making Himself manifest in a bride.
Glory.
Not we'll do like Eve did, hybrid it to something else. But the unadulterated Word of God will be born into that church, and she'll stand like Jesus Christ did, with His Spirit anointing in His Word. Amen. I believe it. It's the announcement. Now, let me read that again. I believe it's the announcement now. It took a prophet to bring it, but it takes me and you to believe it. Let's stand to our feet. So what are we looking for? Yeah, it's good to have exousia. But that won't get you out of a grave. That won't change your body. But dunamis power will do that. It will bring you out, I promise you. Because you know what it done? It brought Jesus out of a grave. And now what's it going to do? He says, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And now I'm transferring that power to them last two quotes to the bride. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Glory, amen.
Word revival. Right. The Word back in power.
Right.
All right. The brothers, come on. You want to do them? And while we're... can't get it in the water baptism scripture. While we're... we got everything ready while we're waiting. Let's just bow our heads. And if you got a need in your heart, and if you got a sickness in your body today, we look to the Word of God. We look to the promise that God has promised us. So if you got a need, just raise your hand up. I know we all do. We all have needs, and we've all got people that are running through our mind right now that need prayer, that need salvation, that need healing. Well, you know what? You can't go buy that dunamis power.
No.
It's already inside of you.
Glory.
You don't have to work it up.
Right.
Brother Branham says, you got to bring it down.
Right.
So that it'll anoint the Word that you already are. If you're born again today, you're the Word.
Right.
You're the Word made flesh. You just need a revival of what's already inside of you. So let's pray for a minute. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. All of us that's standing here in this building, Lord, we all have needs. We all have family members that need salvation. We all have somebody on our heart that needs healing. Lord, we still are a needy people. Even though you've given us this power, Lord, let us release that power. Let us not dam it up like man has took these beautiful rivers around here and have put dams and dammed them up and kept them from flowing free. Lord, the river of life won't have a dam in it. The river of life won't have a place where it narrows and is clogged up and, oh, that's what's happening now by our unbelief. But Lord, it'll flow freely. I pray that you'll give us right now a little taste of that future home. That you'll give us, Lord, a little taste of where we're about to go to, Father. That there's something right on the brink of happening. I just believe, Lord, we've entered in a new decade. This is 2020. I don't believe in my heart we'll see 2030. I believe that this is the decade of us going home. We're going to leave this place, Lord. And we pray, Father, that the ones that do not have this dunamis power, that, Lord, you will just stir their heart. And, Lord, just be that balm in Gilead that we have many needs of maybe hurt feelings and different things. Lord, you said you wouldn't leave us comfortless, that you would come to us. Father, forgive us of our sins as we're about to partake of this communion. It's a true representation, Lord, that we're a part of you.
Yes, Lord.
And that we're going to commune with you now, not just for a few minutes. This is just a symbol that we're already communing with you. In the days and weeks ahead, Lord, may we commune more. May we cut out the things that we don't need and spend more time with you, Lord. Because you're the one with the dunamis power. And it will never, ever lose its strength. What a promise. Man's tried for centuries, Lord, to create power. And they've done it by different things and damming up rivers and turning turbines and spending billions of dollars in solar panels to create electricity, and all you do is just walk out and say, my power's in my word. Dunamis power. Lord, may we receive it today. Give us this day truly our daily bread. Amen. Let's read the scripture. 1 Corinthians, for I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.
Right.
After the manner also he took the cup which he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament. You see, the New Testament, the Old Testament, was an anointing. That God would anoint a group of people, and then they would come off of them and anoint. But this, but the New Testament is in his blood.
Glory.
The New Testament is in the life that he was going to send back 11 days later, or 12, 13 days later on the day of Pentecost when he was speaking this right here. This cup is the New Testament. That's why we've always said we're so dogmatic about it, and I guess we are. The New Testament didn't start until after Jesus died.
Right.
He had to die. He just said right here, the cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it
right.
in remembrance of me. So every time we drink it, we remember that he gave his life.
Right.
And that life didn't just go somewhere and stay.
Right.
He came right back down here into this dimension again as the Holy Ghost
right.
out into the believers.
Glory.
For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death. Till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. The body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. If you have a problem today, you need to examine yourself right now. We'll stop in a few minutes and have a silent word of prayer. You pray for the pastor, and you pray that if you've got something in your life, that God will wipe it out. And he said he would.
Right.
He said he would. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, who's the Lord's body? You and I are. All right. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world.
Glory.
Wherefore, my brethren, you see how we've been separated? We're not going to be condemned by the with the world.
Right.
Because that dunamis power overcomes everything.
Right.
Jesus said, I have overcome the world. What did he say it with? He said it with dunamis power, the same power you got inside of you.
Right.
Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's just have a moment of silent prayer, praying for the pastor, praying for if you have anything in your life that you need to get rid of. Now is a real good time to get rid of it.
Amen.
So let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord, for all these things. Amen. The Bible said he took bread and blessed it. Lord, thank you for this bread that you give us. It was made, Lord, not something we bought in a store.